Praise God. How's everybody doing today? Glory to God. Amen. We're going to start off with a word of prayer and get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We're just going to rejoice and give praise to you, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, that as we learn and partake of your word, Lord God, we're growing up in him in all things, Lord God, that we're going to be productive Christians, Lord God, and we're going to be taking territory for the kingdom of God. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you for the vision that God has placed him under, and we thank you, Lord God, that we're a part of that vision. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for showing up and manifesting yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be talking today on how to build honor, and actually, probably for the next two sessions, we're going to be talking on that subject. Last week, we talked about Noah and his three sons, and how two sons, because they showed honor, were blessed and enlarged, and the other son, because of his dishonor and disrespect to his father, how he was cursed. And not only was he cursed, but as I stated, His lineage, his legacy was cursed. And we're going to see other episodes of other men in the Bible who had those same things happen to them because of their dishonor. Let me start off by saying this. Honor grows generations. So then when you sow honor or an honor seed, the generations are blessed, are empowered to prosper. A generational legacy of blessing. Shem and Japheth, they had generational blessings by being enlarged, by being blessed. But Ham was cursed, as I stated earlier, because his act of dishonor. When you sow a dishonor seed, the generations are cut off. Proverbs 26 and verse 2 says, "The curse causeless shall not come." In other words, there's always a reason why a curse or bad misfortune happens to somebody. There's always a reason. You cause a lot of times by dishonor, cause that curse to come upon you. Honor will grow generations of blessings upon your legacy. Dishonor will castrate your destiny. And I'm going to say that again. Honor grows generation of blessings upon your legacy. But dishonor will castrate your destiny. And when you talk about castrate, you talk about cutting it off, cutting your destiny off. And even though it seems really simple, and sometimes it's the simple concepts where people don't quite understand. When God's called you to a ministry or God's called you to serve, you want to do it with honor. You want to make sure that, Lord, that number one, you're doing it unto God. But God, if you're not a pastor, you know, or operating over a ministry of some sort, God will always bring you to the brook or bring you to the ministry, bring you to the place that you're going to be fed, that you're going to be nourished. And where that place is where you're going to receive everything you need, all your provision. You know, what I mean by that is, through the anointing that's on your pastor, your apostle's life, or the person that God has placed you under, that anointing, as we stated earlier in our classes, the anointing of God always flows down from the head down to every part of the garment. The Bible talks about how the anointed oil that ran down Aaron's beard, it ran down his coat, his beard, all the way down to his feet. And when you position yourself properly, that anointing or that provision, that oil, that covering is there to protect, to provide, to meet all of your needs. And that's so very important. But it's as you honor properly whom God has placed you under for that at all to take effect upon your life. Anytime a person sows a seed of dishonor against their legacy, their inheritance from their spiritual father, their ability to possess the future is cut off. Let me read that again. Anytime a person sows a seed of dishonor against their legacy, their inheritance, which is from their spiritual father or your pastor, their ability to possess the future is cut off. I've known many, many instances where people ditched their pastor or ditched their spiritual leader, and they never grew, their ministries never blossomed, things happened that probably would have not happened. And you hate to say it, but when you see it happen time and time again, you see a spiritual principle that's being broken. And one of the things we're endeavoring to do in this class is to make sure that everyone knows what honor is, how to sow honor properly, and how to stay connected to the source that God's called you to, so that you can honor that source, and that source will be a source of provision and blessing for you. Sometimes we have ministries and even leaders that disqualify themselves in doing things that cripple their ministries. They disqualify themselves by, as I stated earlier, by ditching their spiritual leaders or talking badly about them. I remember years ago, some 20-something years ago, I'll never forget the apostle made the statement from the pulpit. He said, you never want to put your mouth on a man of God. Irregardless of what he did or what the media is saying, you keep your mouth off of a man of God, because that's God's anointed. Don't think you can put your mouth on a man of God and be without guilt. You know, God hears, and God, he's omnipotent and he's omnipresent. And so it's so very important that even though someone may be wrong or in error, you pray for them and you believe God that they're restored. But you yourself, you don't put your mouth on them in a negative way. We saw what Ham did, and we saw his outcome. Now we're going to look at someone who sowed honor. I'm going to read from the Bible for a bit. If you want to follow along, it's going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. We're going to talk a little bit about Jabez. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we're going to be reading at verse 9. It says here that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him in sorrow. And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. So here we see in verses 9 and verses 10 in 2 Chronicles chapter 4 that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now, what that first is saying, that his brethren was honorable, his brothers were honorable, but Jabez was more honorable. In other words, he went the extra mile. We know there's a scripture in 1 Timothy that talks about, you know, let the elders that rule well be worthy of double honor. But in this instance, Jabez was just more honorable. And it wasn't just a jest. He made an effort to be more honorable. But then it says some things about Jabez. It says his mother called him Jabez because she bare him, or she birthed him in sorrow. In other words, he was there was much pain involved. There was much sorrow. There was much hurt involved. And now, it doesn't talk about a father, but the author says, you know, it's implied that there was no man around. The mother raised him. And that Jabez, even though he might have been raised in poverty or in the slums or in a bad, you know, economic state, he didn't ditch his mother. He didn't dishonor his mother. But he went out of his way to honor and to respect and to give his mother everything that he could give her. In honor. And you see, that goes back to something we talked about in the very first weeks of the class. You know, we're to honor every life source. And we said that a life source is somebody who gives and produces life. And so when you honor a life source, there's immediate reciprocation, because you're sowing into somebody that sowed into you. And there's always immediate reciprocation. And reciprocation means that now you're going to receive a blessing because of your honor and your respect. Matter of fact, I think I made mention to you guys last week that, you know, this past weekend I was planning on going and spending a day with my mom, you know, and which I did Friday. We went out to lunch, did some things, helped her around the house, and just to be a blessing, you know. I remember, like, she'll be 83 next month, but for her 80th birthday, I think I might have even shared this, we decided to give her a celebration, a birthday party where she can invite all of her best and closest friends and relatives and just celebrate her life, honor her for honoring us with life, me and my three brothers. And even though it was a natural thing, everybody saw the significance of it. All of her colleagues and friends and people, you know, from her church and community, she said every time they see her, for months after it happened, how they talked about it, how it was such a blessing for your children to give back to you and for your 80th birthday, honor you. And they were saying, I wish my kids would do something like that for me. You know, one of the things I've learned over the years, and I remember even coming up in the Baptist church, there was this old deaconess. She used to always say, give me my flowers while I'm alive so I can smell them. In other words, whatever honor, whatever accolades you have for me, don't stand up and read my obituary or, you know, or come in and say condolences at my funeral and give me my accolades when I'm dead. She says, you know, while I'm alive, if I've done anything worthy of honor, you know, give me my flowers or honor me while I'm alive. And that's something, and you see, that's a spiritual principle, because you know, honor your mother and father. Honor, and that's so very important. But let's go back and talk about Jabez. Jabez honored his mother, and even though, like I said, he was born in sorrow and probably didn't know his father, but he, for some reason, had the wisdom enough to honor a life source, to give honor to whom honor was due. And he said in verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that I may not grieve, that it may not grieve me, and God granted him that which he requested. So in his prayer, he's praying to God that you bless me indeed. You know, the reason why God was able to grant him his request was because he showed honor to whom honor was due. I'm sure there was a lot of people who prayed that prayer, but if they didn't have the honor that Jabez had, well then, you know, God couldn't reciprocate to them in the same degree because of the spiritual principle that was laid down that Jabez followed and caused honor to come to him. It says here that the scripture tells us why his mother named him Jabez, because he was born in sorrow and it caused her much pain. Jabez, despite the fact that he was born in sorrow, or born in the slums, and caused his mother pain, he never hated his mother. He never complained. He never disrespected his mother, but he honored her. But he honored her continually, and he did it so more so than his brothers. Instead, he showed more honor and more respect. He honored the very life source, as I stated earlier, that brought him into the world. He never disrespected her because of the situation that they might have been in. The Bible says, and God granted him his request. God answered him and expanded his territory. He prayed and he said, Lord, he says, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. In other words, you know, all my circumference, everything that borders me, I want you to enlarge it, expand it. But then not only did he ask for that, but he said that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me. That's kind of similar to a prayer I think that David prayed, you know, when God put him over Israel, you know, that Lord, that you would, you know, give me wisdom so that I might judge thy people. Oh, so great a people, you know, I can't do it on my own. Lord, give me the wisdom that I need, that I know how to judge right from wrong. And you see, when your prayer is a prayer to, in David's instance, because he was put as king over Israel, that he might govern and rule over God's people, God, not only did God bless him and answer his request, but riches and honor also came to him. Jabez, in the same light, even though he wasn't a king, but he honored his mother, and because of that, his coast was enlarged. You know, God expanded him. God blessed him. Why? Because of honor. Honor will cause the generations and the legacy of your lineage to be blessed. Your children and your children's children are blessed because of sowing an honor seed. Oh, that we would learn how to sow honor seeds where honor is due. By sowing honor into honorable people, within the anointing and the wisdom and everything that's on them rolls down on us because of our respect and honor. When you respect somebody, their years, their wisdom, the mistakes they might have made, God now turns you and leads you in a path of righteousness and leads you away from things because you have their experiences. You know, I use this illustration a lot when talking with young people. You always want your children to advance and to proceed and explore and move on in greater dimensions and greater blessings than you experience in your life. That's a prayer, and that's, I think, a desire of every parent, to see their children continue and flourish and be better off than they were. You know, my grandmother, who lived in a small, almost log cabin-style house, I know her desire for all her children was to see them, you know, get married, have children, and move and advance better, and all of them did. And then my dad, his desire, he would always say, I always want you, my three boys, to be better off than I was, and not to have as rough a time making it as I did, and all of us have. You know, same thing with me, with my children, and I'm already seeing that. I mean, areas that my kids are now, it took me years to get. But see, that's when the legacy, and that's where the generations are blessed, because of honor. Now, anytime in any part of that linkage, dishonor is sown, that legacy and that generational blessing is cut off. But as long as honor is sown and sown properly, that legacy and that generational blessing will continue to perpetuate itself. I was watching, I'm going to use Reverend Montrell, Dr. Montrell, as an example. About 2 weeks ago, he ministered on Sunday. And if you didn't see the apostle on him, you didn't see him at all. You know, the compassion and the love, the anointing, you know, and when he gave the altar call, it might have been a dozen people came up, you know. And I'm hearing what he's saying, but I'm also seeing how generational blessings flow down. You know, when you serve properly, when you honor, when you're told to do something, you just do it. You know, I know there were things that he had wanted to do, areas in music he might have wanted to pursue, you know, but his father said, no, God has something better for you. No, leave that alone. Don't do this. You know, stay close. You know, don't venture off in some side. See, it's so easy in times, you know, to venture off on Noah was a good example, a sideline ministry or a sideline project. But if God's called you to do something particular, that should be the foremost thing on your mind. And you see, when you honor God by fulfilling God's will God's purpose for your life, you can't help but be blessed because you're promoting his cause. And we're going to look at an example after we finish with Jabez of somebody who did just that, who did the will of the Father. And because of that, God glorified him for his obedience. The reason God granted him the request was because Jabez learned how to sow the seed of honor. He learned how to sow honor. Stick with your task or your assignment. Stay on course with the vision that God has placed you under. And that's so very important. People need to understand and recognize that every time you pluck yourself out of something God has placed you in, you stun your growth, and you show dishonor by not honoring God by sticking with his assignment. And that's one of the reasons why I thank God for the apostle. I know one of the things he said this past Sunday, he said, I'm sticking with my assignment. You know, God's called me to pastor. He says, I'm not a herbalist. I'm not a doctor. You know, he said, you get it on your own. I went off, but he knows what his mandate is, what his assignment is. And even though sometimes because of his desire to help us and to get us in the best shape spiritually, mentally, and physically that we can so we can glorify God, he always goes back to his original assignment. He sticks with God's plan and God's purpose for his life. You know, and a lot of times people, they'll get caught off on sideline and ministries or sideline projects and areas where they're not as anointed or because, as the author stated with Noah, it was a byproduct of the anointing that God placed upon his life. Yeah, you could do that, but that's not what I called you to do. You know, you are more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life. When you stick with the plan and the purpose of God and where God has called you, that anointing will sustain you. It will bless you. It's going to perpetuate down to your family, to your children, and your children's children. If you honor and sow a seed with all the anointing that you have, I'm sorry, let me read this again. If you sow a dishonor seed with all the anointing that you have, you will cancel your ministry. You cancel it because dishonor breaks the generations, but sowing honor enlarges your coast. So if you sow a dishonor seed, even though you're very anointed, you're canceling your ministry. You're canceling what God is. It almost like it nullifies because you know, there's always a space of repentance. God says, I'll give you a space, you know, But I've called you to do this. The Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So if you know God has placed something in your heart, you need to pursue it with all the gusto that you have. Amen. Let me move on. Okay, we're going to look at now someone. I'm noticing that the time is okay. You're just going to keep me posted. Thank you. All right. I trust you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Let's look at somebody who fulfilled the complete and total plan and purpose of God. And without ado, that's Jesus Christ. So let's look at his example. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, I may not read everything. It says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifices and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Now that's Jesus. He says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus came, I'm just paraphrasing what I just read out of the scriptures. Jesus came to earth to do the will of the Father, not his own will. Too many ministries have their own personal agendas and don't fulfill God's purpose and plan for their life. A vision is a redemptive plan of God that he's called you to hook up to. And when you hook up to a redemptive plan of God, there will always be provision. In every vision, they will always be provision. Verse 9 of Hebrews 10, it says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." John 17, 1 through 6, this is talking about Jesus. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, thy hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee." Jesus brought glory to the Father by going to the cross. Verse 2 says, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that thou might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." He said, "I have glorified thee on the earth." This is Jesus talking to God. In other words, "I have honored thee in the earth," or on the earth. "I have finished the work which thou givest me to do." He says, "Now, O God, glorify thou me." In other words, honor me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Because as you know, when Jesus came to the earth, he stripped himself of all his glory and honor and majesty. He took off his royal robe. He stepped down from the right hand of the throne of God. And the Bible says he humbled himself. And he became a servant, and he became as a man. And he walked this earth for 33 and a half years, and he came to do thy will, O God. And even when it came time for him to be offered up on the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Lord, in other words, if there's any other way that this cup could pass, but nevertheless, Lord, if this is the cup that I need to drink out of, not my will, but thy will be done." So he was saying, "Lord, I know my purpose is to die on the cross for the sins of humanity. And it's not my will, but it's thy will," you know, because he knew that his act, his sacrifice was gonna save humanity and save all of those that would come unto him, you know. And because of that, the Bible says, because he stooped so low, because he fulfilled God's will to the fullness, the Bible says that God highly exalted him. In other words, God highly honored him, gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, at every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's a perfect example of somebody honoring their Father. You know, God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was a perfect example of a son honoring his father. You know, he came to do his will, and he fulfilled his purpose. You know, and because of that, God highly exalted him. You know, spiritual principle here. You know, honor your father. Honor, you know, that's an honor principle there in operation, if any that I know of. Jesus fulfilling the will of the Father. One of the things I've learned, and I got it here in my notes, I will not trade up positions where God has not placed me for anything else in the world. In other words, for any position, any job, promotion that's going to pull me away from God's plan for my life, you know, I'm not going to trade it up. Really, I'm trading down to for anything that the world has to offer outside of what God's called you to do, you know, because it's always going to be a counterfeit. Satan's always got a scheme to try to. Because he knows God has potential there, and God has called you, and he sees, you know, your potential, and what he wants to do, three things: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, "I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." The greatest thing that any person can do is honor by sowing the seed of honor. And I'm going to read it the way I have it here. The greatest seed that one can sow is the seed of honor. And one way of sowing honor towards your spiritual father is by walking in the revelation knowledge he is releasing and having physical manifestation from the spiritual truths that you, that your father has taught, and passing those truths on to others. You know, that's one of the greatest seeds you can sow, because now you're taking in everything that you're hearing, and you're applying it in your life, and you're getting manifestation, and you're getting blessing. But even more so than that, now you're sharing that with other people, and you're sharing your testimony of what God is doing in your life. So now that you're passing that on to someone else, you know, that's honoring your father, honoring your pastor. When, you know, it's one thing to sit, listen, and learn, but it's another thing to sit, listen, and learn, and apply, and put it into operation to where now it's how can I say this? It's not just a theory, but it's a law, and when you apply a law, every time you put a law into operation, that law will always work. A law is a settled fact. You know, when a plane is going down the runway at a certain speed with the wings and the flaps at a certain degree, there's what is known as the law of lift that'll propel that plane off the ground. You know, gravity, every time you jump up, gravity is a law, will pull you back down to the earth. That's a law. As long as the earth remains, as long as we're here, and gravity is in effect, when you jump up, I can care how strong you are, gravity will pull you back down. You know, so when you apply the spiritual principles that your man of God is from week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, is putting out, and you begin to walk in the revelation and begin to receive physical manifestation from the spiritual truths that your father has taught, and you pass them on to others, you are sowing a tremendous seed of honor. I want to make sure I cover everything. How am I doing on my time? 15 minutes? Okay, great. Mm-hmm. All right. It was because Jesus humbled himself to do the Father's will that caused God to highly exalt him. Now, one of the things, and I see the connection more clearly, it talked about humbling himself. Now, one of the things Jesus always did, you always saw him going to a desert place or to a deserted place, and there he prayed. It doesn't state a lot about him fasting, but we know that if he's praying for hours, he's not eating. So he's fasting. You know, he fasted before he began his ministry. He went out into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days, you know. And by fasting, you're denying yourself physical food, and by doing so, you're getting closer to God. And you're able to receive so much greater because you're denying the flesh, and your spirit now is so much more alive under God. As you pray and you meditate, now God is able to speak to you and give you clear, precise direction. I can remember when I was about to graduate from school, I went off into a park, and I was kind of indecided whether or not I was going to continue on and go to grad school or pursue other avenues. And so I remember going out, went down one evening for, I think it was probably half of the day, and just found a desert place where nobody could see me, and just there prayed in the Holy Spirit. And after it was all complete, I knew God, you know, had different directions for me than the course of the world. And, you know, even though I had, you know, colleges and applications going here and there, God said, you know, that's not my will, you know. And even when I even tried to pursue going to ministry school in a particular place, and I've shared that before, the Lord said, no, that's not my will, you know. He specifically, you know, through supernatural means, you know, and I believe it wasn't for that time of separation, I could have easily made a wrong turn. You know, it's so very important to get before God, to know God's will. One of the things that the apostle was talking about yesterday, was Romans 8 and 10. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you see, one of the ways you honor God is by being led by His Spirit, you know, by hearing His voice and following His direction. And one of the things I've learned, God will never change His mind on His assignments. We change our minds on whether or not we choose to do it. And we say, you know, God is moving us on. You know, when God called me here to Word of Life Christian Center, He never changed His mind on that. You know, when God told me that, you know, that Robin was going to be my wife, He never changed His mind on it. He never did. You know, because God is God, and He knows, He's omnipotent and omnipresent. You know, He knows the end from the beginning. And when you know how to hear His voice properly, you know, and follow that still small voice, it's going to lead you into the perfect will of God, and it's going to lead you into fulfillment, into your destiny, and you're going to be so much more of a blessing to multitudes because you've heard from God. And by doing so, you're honoring the Father and honoring the man of God that God's called you to sit under, to serve under, because it's a, how can I say this? A lot of times people, they'll use the expression, well, I can hear from God, you know, but then once God placed you under an anointing, that anointing will have provision for you, and you shouldn't leave or shouldn't make a turn without getting that government's approval or that anointing or that man of God's blessing. And if you don't have that blessing or that approval, you know, and you step out on your own, you're stepping away from your covering. You're stepping away from the provision that God has placed you under. Too many people step away and ditch their spiritual fathers, dishonor their spiritual fathers, and don't understand, nor do they recognize the consequences of leaving the home camp without give you an illustration. In your book, around page 90 or so, I can't remember exactly, the author talks about this one pastor. All of a sudden, he said that things in his ministry weren't going right. He said it was like, you know, things were just going bad. No progress, they weren't moving forward. And so he went to this man who was very spiritual, who was a prayer or intercessor, and he said, I want you to pray and ask God, what's happening in my ministry? Why am I not moving forward? Why we're stagnated? And he gave him an offering. And the minister prayed for 72 hours. And then after 3 days, he went and he went to visit him. And he said, the reason why your things are not moving, things are not manifesting in your life and in your ministry like it should, is because you have spoken badly about your spiritual father. You have dishonored your spiritual father. And by doing that, he said, what you need to do is to go to the city where he's at, bring an offering, and ask him for forgiveness. So he got on a plane, flew there, and when he got to the entrance of his property, of his estate, he got on his knees and he crawled to the door with his offering. And when he got up to the door, his spiritual father said, son, I've been expecting you. And his spiritual father prayed for him and released him. And he said, from that point on, his ministry flourished. His ministry began to blossom. I mean, that's just how important it is not to put your mouth on a man of God and not to dishonor, disrespect your man of God, because your source of blessing, I mean, it's somewhere in the book. I'm saying page 90 in the 90s or the high 80s or somewhere like that, maybe in 100. Page 91, thank you, page 91. You know, I mean, if that don't answer the question of how important honor is, I don't think nothing else will. He said his ministry just, it was just stalemated. I've seen countless young ministers who are anointed, but when they dishonor and disrespect, it cancels their ministry. They never flourish. They get caught in the squat and never rise. Why is that? Somewhere along the line, they show dishonor or disrespect. And God cannot bless disobedience. God cannot bless dishonor. You know, you curse yourself when you do that. Amen. Let me read this here. It was because Jesus humbled himself that the Father was able to highly exalt him. And we know that humility it comes through fasting and praying and seeking God's will. And that's one thing Jesus always did. He always sought the will of the Father. He always prayed. He always was in God's face. Unfortunately, there are many young lions, and I'm talking about young ministers. This is what the author says, young ministers whose gifts, young gifts in the body of Christ, who are immature, sometimes untrained, and don't have exposure to spiritual protocol. As a direct result, they will say wrong things and dishonor dignitaries, dishonor spiritual dignitaries, you know, an apostle, Leroy Thompson, or Kenneth Copeland, or Benny Hinn, by saying disrespectful things and not recognizing that because of their criticism or their words, they're canceling their ministry without understanding the consequences that they are actually sowing seeds of dishonor and canceling their ministry. These young lions, the author says, they need spiritual wisdom. And what we're going to be talking about in the next class session is ways of building honor. We saw what Jabez built honor by honoring his mother. But wisdom is one of the principal and key elements of building honor. It says here in Proverbs 3:13-16, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire cannot be compared to her. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. In building honor, the first thing you must walk in is the spirit of wisdom. In building honor, the first thing you must walk in is the spirit of wisdom. As I stated, wisdom is the principal thing. So the first thing you must pray for is that, Lord, give me wisdom. And that's scriptural, because the Bible says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to all men liberally and unabraded not, but let him ask in faith. You know, whenever you're searching for direction, you need to go to God and say, Lord, give me wisdom. And as you pray, you want to also be still and hear. You know, a lot of times people think prayer is a monologue, just one person talking. But no, prayer should be a dialogue. You need to make a request and then sit and listen and hear what God had to say or is saying to you. And be willing to be obedient. You know, another aspect is obedience. You know, we're going to get into that next week. But obedience, you know, and also walking in humility. All of these are attributes and ways of building honor. But the key and the one principle one I want to talk about today is in the last few minutes we have, we're at about 5 minutes, six, thank you, is wisdom. James 1:3 says, but let patience, you know, which is, because you're asking for wisdom. Let me start from here. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise, I read this earlier, but the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and thereof of fine gold. She is more precious, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all that thou canst desire cannot be compared to it. Length of days is in wisdom's right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Wisdom will bring you into honor. Wisdom will bring you into riches when you have the wisdom of God. And wisdom is simply really the mind of God for your life. When you ask God for wisdom, say, Lord, I want you to give me your mind or your wisdom of how I should go. Every prayer we should pray is like Jesus. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. What is your will? What is your plan? What is your purpose for my life? You know, give me the wisdom. And then when God places you in the position or places you under the ministry, now, Lord, what is my role? What is my assignment? What have you called me here to do? I need wisdom because my provision is wrapped up in my obedience to fulfill God's plan and God's purpose for my life. You know, Jesus glorified the Father by going to the cross, fulfilling God's will for his life. We need to allow him to be, as the Bible says, the perfect example by finding out what it is, Lord, that you have called me to do. How can I best serve you with the talent and the abilities that you have placed on the inside of me so that I can be a vessel of honor and glory? The Bible said that you're the potter and I'm the clay. So I'm asking you, Lord, right now just to mold me and just to shape me into a vessel. You know, each one of us want to be vessels of honor and glory to God. You know, and that's how we bring honor. We bring honor to God. We bring honor to our man of God or to our pastor. You know, we bring honor to our families. And because of that, the generations and our legacy is blessed. Why? Because honor will perpetuate and cause the generations to grow and to prosper. But dishonor will castrate the generations and the legacy. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not, and it shall be given him. You know, all we got to do is ask, you know, God will give it to us. Jesus grew in wisdom and grace. He increased in wisdom. And if Jesus increased in wisdom, we can increase in wisdom. Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God and man. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Wisdom will promote you. When you got wisdom, and when you ask God for wisdom, wisdom will promote you. You know, because it'll put you right where God called you to be, and it will cause promotion to come, because now you're in God's perfect will and God's perfect timing. And sometimes it's a matter of just waiting. I remember my wife and I, after we got married, we were, you know, wanting to go in one direction. The Lord said, no, stay here in Baton Rouge. We had this one man, I'll never forget. He said, I just feel like God wants me to buy you 2 bags of groceries and send you back out west. I looked at my wife. We hadn't been married but 3-4 weeks. She looked at me and we said, nah, that ain't it. We respected him, but we said, we'll see you later. And we stayed, you know, and you know, 2, 3, 4 years went by, but all of a sudden God, you know, through supernatural means, had us here at Word of Life Christian Center, and from that point on, we began to grow spiritually, began to be pastored, began to be nurtured, it's almost like lights start to come on, and understanding and wisdom and your purpose and what God's called you to do. You know, once you get to that place, then all of a sudden things just begin to start clicking. Valves start begin to move, you know, just like an automobile. Everything, every cylinder clicking. And that's when you know, hey, Lord, I'm in your perfect will. And then from that point on, you don't want to let nothing cause you to get off into a sideline. Because when that happens, that's when you begin to see yourself now get into a sideline ministry and outside the will of God. But you want to stay in honor. And when you stay in honor, you're going to stay in provision and you're going to stay in blessing. Amen? All right. See you guys next week.